everyone who is scheduled for the Penview 315 flight, I would advise you to line up at the gate. Boarding time is now. And we are boarding according to spirituality. So those of you that are speaking in tongues can come forward. Okay, we want to get started. Did you have something, Steve? Want to get started with the afternoon session and want to give another welcome to all of you for being a part of our assembly today. It is obviously a change from our traditional two-day gathering. And it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. But we do thank God for the opportunity of coming together. And I do want to express sincerely my appreciation to the delegates who were both part of the conference assembly scattered gathering this year in the last few months, as well as the delegates that were part of the conference assembly scattered meetings last year, and how many of you sincerely took a somewhat of a second look at the call of what it means to be a delegate, someone who is empowered, who is responsible, and who is who is respected in terms of what you bring to the process and to the work of Franconia Conference. We have our separate sessions going on this afternoon. We have quite a bit that we need to cover, and hopefully you feel energetic enough to engage, and we look forward to that. I want to just have a brief word of prayer before I turn over to our moderator, John Goshaw, and then we can go from there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we again thank you for the privilege of being instruments in your hands for the work of the kingdom. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Eastern District at this time as they have their business session, the delegate session. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have of being together in this place. Lord God, we pray for your presence. We pray for true spirits of discernment. We pray, God, for the ability to speak the truth truly in love with one another and to receive, Father, that which is helpful to bringing honor and glory to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for continuing to bless us with the Spirit of your presence and through your word, through fellowship, and many ways that, Lord, we are not even aware of. We commit this time to you this afternoon, as we have this entire day to you, but especially now as we continue to talk and share together of what it means to be the people of Franconia Conference. We commit this time and the conversation to you, looking to the Spirit to guide us and to show us the way. We do ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The agenda for our time together from now until 5 o'clock should be on your table, so I won't review that in detail now. But I just want to join Ertel in thanking you for coming out today and joining us for a day of business and fellowship and celebration together here. I would actually like to start by just acknowledging or thanking Carla Ferrier, who may not be in the room. Carla, are you there? There you are. Carla, you may have noticed that from time to time, Carla has come up to our table here and offered some suggestions about how to keep things moving and how to keep things organized, and she has done a wonderful job at organizing this whole event. And so, Carla, I just want to make sure that somebody acknowledges the good work that you've done. That's... And it's not one person that does it. We realize that. But it always takes at least one person to kind of organize the other persons. And you've done you've done a great job at that. All right. Several items that require action. The first one is the minutes of Assembly 2011. And we wanted to invite you to take action on that here shortly. Frieda Myers, who is here, was the recorder last year, and you've had a chance to review those minutes. It's the C section in your docket, so you have had that. You've had a chance to review that. Frieda did a really good job, I think, at capturing the essence of our meeting last year. There is one correction that I'd like to just make on page C5. Report from the Conference Board Review Steering Committee. The first sentence, second line there says that Jim Laverty and Randy Heacock were part of the Conference Review Steering Committee. We believe that that is not accurate, that Randy Heacock was not part of the Review Steering Committee at that time. And in communication with Randy, he pointed that out. And so I think our official minutes should strike that name from that particular section. That's on C5 under Report from Conference Board Review Steering Committee. So you reviewed, had a chance to review the minutes. You've also saw on D1 the actions that were taken last year, which were basically to accept the bylaw changes as presented, to appoint Marta Beidler Castillo to serve as interim assistant moderator and assistant chair of the conference board for 1 year beginning January 1, 2012 through December 31, 2012, to accept the minutes of November 12, 2010 conference assembly. And the fourth action is the affirmation that we have been making here at Franconia Conference for many years. So I would ask for someone to put forward a motion to accept these minutes at this point. We have a motion, Jim King. Do we have a second? And second, Adomino Ortiz? Thank you very much. I guess Robert's rules would call for us to allow anyone to have questions or make comments at this point. Seeing none, I would invite you just to give a voice affirmation by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Opposed? Okay. I don't want to be said that I didn't allow you to oppose that, so... The second thing that we want to need to take care of now is the ballot. Now, the bios of the persons that are up for nomination are in Section B. Go to that. Okay. You will see the ballot. Calls for the election of Marta Castillo. We have the executive committee, after organizing a search and not finding someone that who was called to serve at this time, asked Marta to consider serving for an additional 2 years, which would basically be one full 3-year term. And you see her bio there. We make a note that we recognize that Marta is also on the pastoral team at Norristown, and we recognize that that has some possibility to appear to be a conflict of interest, and our executive committee will watch very carefully to make sure that no conflict does occur. And I think it is typical that it's pretty difficult not to have some conflicts of interest occur on any board, but by acknowledging it, I think... we feel confident that conflicts will not happen. And then Joe Hackman is up for another 3-year term. Jim King for 3-year term. James Loinker. Jim Laverty I would like to just say something, a few words about Jim Lafferty. Jim, as you know, has been on a 3 or 4 month journey with his daughter. That journey ended this past week. Jim called me yesterday and apologized for not coming to, or not apologized, but notified me that he would not be coming to conference because he and his wife, for the first time in 3 months, are going to be taking some time to be among themselves and to be part of the whole healing process that he is now going through. Our board did give him a leave of absence for as long as he needed from our board, but he did notify me that he is ready to begin serving, and he's a wonderful board member. So his name is on on the list as well. And finally, Mary Nitsche and Janet Panning are also on the list to receive your affirmation. So the ballots are on 30 tables. If you have a table that does not have a ballot, what are we going to do about that, Carla? Because there are ample ballots. Make sure if you're a delegate, you're an official delegate, you have the right, so to speak, to vote. If you're a delegate at the Franklin County Conference, make sure you take that ballot. Vote as quickly as you can. We will pick them up in about 15 or 20 minutes and then tabulate the vote and let you know what the turnout is at the end of our session. So you make sure you have a ballot between now and, let's say, 20 minutes. We'd like you to make your selections. I'd like to invite Marta to come up now. Marta's going to talk about some gift discernment needs that Franconia Conference has at this time.
The gift discernment sheet in your packet is this neon pink sheet. It is stated in many different places in Franconia Conference paperwork and in our priorities that our people, God's servants, are one of our most precious resources. And unfortunately, we can't see into all your congregations to see people that you might see with gifts developing, people that you might see that can serve in different areas in the conference. For me, my start, the conference was on the credentialing committee, and it's just such a wonderful committee to be on. I get to hear so many stories of how God brought people into ministry. And so each level, the board and all the different groups I've participated in, I've just had such a great reward. So I encourage you, when I'm here, I can never think about the people in our congregation that could be on here. But if you can think of somebody today, please write down their name. There's a whole bunch of different columns you can check. We are looking for new board members. We are looking for people on different committees. We're looking for volunteers and all kinds of people to get involved in conference. And as you know in your congregations, the more people are involved, the more committed they are to the ministry and to God's work. So fill them out and hand them in.
Marta, you can stay up. Marta and I are going to have a bit of a dialogue now about the state of Franconia Conference.
I just wanted to ask Steve, are the people from Ripple here at this point? Yes? Yes? Not everyone? Okay. Should we switch around a little bit then?
Let's do that. Let's just do that section at the end.
Okay.
First part of Riff.
Okay.
Yep.
John and I are very excited today to spend 15 minutes recognizing the ways that God's power has been at work here in Franconia Conference over the past few years. John remembers, and I remember too, in the assembly in 2010, when Irvin Stutzman spoke to us and said, "Trouble plus grace equals hope." And at that time of trouble and confusion, there were many of us who could ask and imagine, like our scriptures, our core scripture today says, very few of us could ask or imagine what God could do through that situation. And we were very limited in our creative imagination. But now looking back, we can say that God has done more than we could ask or imagine in many ways. God has truly been at work through the board of Franconia Conference. We are thankful for unity, spirit of cooperation, and a spirit of dedication in our board members, and God has cultivated that within us. I would like to ask at this time if the members of the board would stand to be recognized. Thank you. I would also like to say that I believe that John has a very conscientious spirit about him, and his leadership has been very true, and he has also taught us to be learners, to be open, to be learn and to grow from each other.
Well, when I left Penn Foundation after being in the leadership role there for quite a long time, I worried a little bit about what opportunities I would have. And so I think God called me to be part of the board at Franconia Conference at the right time. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for your words, Marta. Well, God is at work in Mennonite Church USA. Franconia Conference is an important part of Mennonite Church USA as we join the other conferences that make up Mennonite Church USA. Recently, Ertel, Gay, and I attended the Mennonite Church USA's Constituency Leaders Council meeting in Wichita, Kansas. The CLC, which is what we call it, to shorten it up there a little bit, consists of the moderator, executive minister, and one other leader from all of the conferences of Mennonite Church USA. And it really is a joy, a privilege to see what God is doing in conferences scattered throughout our whole country. It really is. Good things, interesting things, exciting things are happening. And so it's a privilege for me to be part of that that gathering. Each of the times, maybe not every single time that I've been to Mennonite Church USA, to the CLC, the moderators have got together for a period of sort of just a couple hours to support one another, to talk about what's happening within our conferences. And this year in Wichita, that happened again. What was interesting, all of the moderators talked about some of the exciting things that are happening within their conferences, but all of them are also facing some pretty significant challenges. And there are two of them, basically, and that is finances. I think every conference in Church USA is struggling with finances. And the second one is the whole question of human sexuality, particularly as it relates to providing pastoral care to persons in same-sex relationships. That is an issue that is being faced by every conference in Mennonite Church USA. Now, Franconia Conference is not sheltered from this conversation. If you have read the Mennonite World Review, you know that the Germantown congregation has been without denominational membership for the past 10 years. And while this has been a difficult conversation in the past, those of us in leadership have no choice but to engage in the conversation, hopefully in ways that lead to further discernment. So I want to emphasize that this issue will not go away, and we will need to find a way to address it in a way that is consistent with a desire to hear God's voice and stay in unity with one another. The Franconia Conference Board recently faced this issue directly when the Alpha Mennonite congregation sent a letter to us stating that they have decided, after a period of discernment, to become an open and welcoming congregation to persons with a homosexual orientation who wish to be members of Alpha Mennonite Church. After careful review, the conference board recognized that in our conference there are sincere Christians who believe that same-sex unions are always wrong, while other equally sincere Christians believe that persons in same-sex unions should be privileged to full membership in their congregation. How do we respond to this sort of diversity on this subject? Our board decided that we are unwilling to sever our relationship with the Alpha congregation at this time. We acknowledge that further discernment on this subject is needed and desire that disagreeing voices be heard non-judgmentally and with patience and respect. We believe that God will be at work as we seek further discernment on this important issue.
And as you heard this morning, God is also at work in increasing the ways that Franconia Conference and Eastern District Conference have been working together. We have, as also noted this morning, we have hired a youth minister, John Stoltzfus, and a minister of peace and justice, Samantha Leoy. We also have increased communication between the board members, and we would like to continue to encourage you, the leaders of Franconia Conference, to seek any ways that you can collaborate, that you can visit, that you could get to know members, leaders, pastors of Eastern District congregations. And during our time of conferring, we will have a little bit of additional time to talk about this relationship and to confer together. Also, as we confer, we're going to be talking about some of the priorities that have been set by the conference board for our conference. These priorities were set all the way back in January at a day-long retreat that our board had. These priorities are listed in page A2 of your docket, and I think that they are also listed on this bright green sheet in your packet. Ertel will be talking a little bit more in detail about the priorities, but I just would like to mention them at this time. Number one is developing missional initiatives. Over the past year, Franconia Conference has provided missional operational grants for congregations and ministries to promote risk-taking for the sake of the gospel. These grants open the door for creative ideas within congregations, ideas that will engage them further in their communities for the sake of the gospel. Number two priority is for networking and cultivating intercultural ministry relationships. This process will include assessment of what we're already doing. It will include assessment of relationships that are emerging cross-culturally, intergenerationally, and in many different areas. And we hope to continue to build our capacity. I was thinking about that GPS, globally positioned servants of God, that we can become more better positioned to relate interculturally. Number three is building relationship capacities across geographies and generations. Again, it's stated here clearly, committed people are Franconia Conference's greatest resource. And so in order to honor the diversity of gifts, in order to expand the diversity of gifts, we hope to continue to provide opportunities for our leaders to come together, especially in the areas of mediation, peace and justice, and under other ministries.
We've also seen God at work with our conference staff, and we're really appreciative of that as well. In February of 2011, Ertel Wiggum was appointed to the role of executive minister for our conference. Ertel's vision, energy, and passion for advancing God's kingdom here in Franconia Conference has been received with appreciation by our board and our congregations. Several months ago, the board did a review of Ertel's job and appointed him to another several years of fulfilling that role, and we are delighted with that. I would like to recognize the conference staff. Just pointing out to you that We have, in addition to Ertel, we have four full-time staff persons and a number of part-time staff persons and some volunteers. I'm going to just read through them and then invite them to stand, and we can acknowledge them with appreciation at that time. Gay Brunt Miller, Noel Santiago, Steve Chris, Conrad Martin. They're the full-timers. Noah Kalb, Emily Ralph, Jennifer Erickson Morales, Carla Ferrier, Sandy Landis are the part-timers. And then we have Ray Yoder and Randy Heacock serving as volunteers, and Samantha Leoy. I cannot pronounce that, but I think I'm getting close. Did I do okay? Two thumbs up. All right. I introduced her at Blooming Glen a couple weeks ago, and I really messed up bad. 50-50. There you go. And John Saltz was also a contracted staff person. So we're delighted to have them all. Can we give them a hand? One more. We have 1 minute left, and we have 5 minutes worth of time. No, we don't. But we do have to cover something very important. So
Ripple's here, too.
I'm sure you'll be willing to give me another minute, right? Randy, we'd like to invite Randy to come up here and give us some update on our financial position here at Franconia Conference. First, before you do that, Randy, I just want to thank the congregations of Franconia Conference for supporting the work of the conference. We have a discussion going on now. How big should we be? How many staff should we be? What should the programs be that we offer? And we will continue that conversation. And I know that I sense that you appreciate the fact that we're having that conversation. But I just want to express my appreciation to you.
I draw your attention to your packets of information to pages A7 through A16, which is our financial report. Thanks to Conrad Martin for pulling that together for us. Conrad's, as was mentioned, is our paid financial person on staff, so he helps keep us on track with that. I just point out a couple high points there. We've already talked a little bit about the missions operations grants, but in that summary section, you can see the mission operations grants, the leadership development, the new mission initiatives, as well as towards the back of that packet, you can see how we're caring for our ministers who have served in the past, who did not have a retirement plan in place at that point, and we have a minister's retirement fund that is also supplementing the income of some of our pastors who have served before. So those are areas that you can see that we're being entrepreneurs for the kingdom of God. I think that risk-taking factor is really an important one. You also notice in that packet that we do have a continued giving trend. I'm not sure if we can call it a trend anymore. But we continue to see a decrease in the giving from congregations for a variety of reasons. We recognize that on a congregational level, all of you are also experiencing giving declines on your local congregational levels, and that's translating to some degree to the conference giving as well. But that decreased giving, that decreased support from congregations is having an effect, and we're seeing a need to decrease staff. So you'll see those trends continue, that staffing will be decreasing over the coming days, the coming years. We do have last year we also mentioned the preservation rights, the development rights for the Indian Creek Farm. Those, we call them development rights, but they really should be called more accurately preservation rights, because the rights that are being sold are ones that keep that land in a preserved state. And we're netting $500,000, a little bit more than that, which will go to pay off the mortgage to the Souderton Center, nearly in full. We'll have just a little bit left of that, but that will take a big chunk out of that and help us with our cash flow. Just as a broad terms of what we are, our look at board leadership, and I appreciate Ertel's leadership with us as we work through these financial questions, really serving as a chief executive officer in the fullest term. We have a commitment to aligning the vision that congregations are facing, the visions that congregations have with roles that are and actions that are happening in conference. So So that's a conversation we're going to continue to have, but it's a priority of the board and of the finance committee that we really work together to think about how do we help congregations and conference join together in ministry together. We're really kind of serving in a matchmaking role in a way. So those missions operations grants that we've also recommended that those be increased so that we can continue to try new things and take risks and to be the entrepreneurs for the kingdom of God. So we're looking forward to how that may, the new things that are going to happen as a result of that. If you have more questions, please feel free to grab me or Conrad. Has all the numbers and answers that he can help you with. Our finance committee as well is listed in that sheet, so you can see those folks that you can grab as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
I'm going to be reading a description of the new congregation that we are welcoming today, another evidence that God is at work among us, adding new congregations and growing existing congregations. So as I read the description, I'd just like to ask any members from Ripple that are here today just to come forward and stand here to the side. And then when I'm done reading it, we will officially welcome them into the conference. Ripple is an emerging Anabaptist urban community birthed out of Whitehall Mennonite Church, led by a pastoral team committed to Anabaptist Mennonite values. The community serves and engages in the heart of Allentown, living out the Franconia Conference values of what it means to be missional, formational, and intercultural. It is a gathering of people across racial, social, economic, cultural backgrounds. It is a congregation that takes extending God's shalom to the forgotten seriously. It is a community that is now prepared to join us as a congregation, fully committed to walking together as sisters and brothers with the historic and emergent community that is Franconia Conference. Begun by Tom and Carolyn Albright, the congregation that gathers weekly is now made up of 25 people, along with a leadership team that includes Angela Moyer and Ben Walter, also credentialed pastors with Franconia Conference. They've been meeting together regularly since 2007. They've been exploring the reality of conference membership for several years, but haven't been in constant relationship with the conference. Worship at Ripple varies from week to week, from intimate Bible study to boisterous food pantry. The church is committed to serving in Allentown and modeling what it means to follow Jesus, to love God and love neighbors. It is a model of reconciling love in Christ. The church is committed to engaging both the needs and possibilities present in PA's third largest city. Please join me in welcoming Ripple by repeating the pledge, by repeating after me the pledge that is not projected.
Good recovery.
We open ourselves to fellowship with you.
We open ourselves to fellowship with you.
In worship, study.
Worship, study.
Service and discipline.
Service and discipline.
We pledge to give and receive counsel.
We pledge to give and receive counsel.
And to offer and accept forgiveness.
And to offer and accept forgiveness.
In the redeemed community.
In the redeemed community.
We joyfully accept you as a member.
We joyfully accept you as a member.
Of Franconia Mennonite Conference.
Of Franconia Mennonite Conference.
And in our mission to the world.
And in our mission to the world.
Thank you.
This has been an exciting journey from Whitehall Mennonite Church and then Ripple meeting in our home around our dining room table for a while, back to the basement of Whitehall Mennonite Church, into the city of Allentown in a coffee shop, outgrew that space, and now we're meeting in an Eastern District Church, Christ Fellowship, and amazing things are happening. We just see, the most amazing thing we see is transformation, is the community coming together. A lot of our people are people who are on the margins of the community. Our church started to grow when some homeless people came up from under the bridge and said, hey, could we come in? Would you come in and see us under the bridge? And that was the beginning of Ripple, and it's just continued. Today, I wasn't able to be here this morning because of a connection and a death in the family. And we're finding that the church is starting to be able to reach out into the community, to minister in a larger way, in a very ecumenical way, to people who are in need. And that's been a privilege for me and a real love and passion that God's put on my heart. And a wonderful partnership with my wife, Carolyn, who is now pursuing pastoring, and Pastor Angela and Ben. So God is doing amazing things, and thank you so much for receiving us into membership. We have felt that we were already a part of Franconia Mennonite Church, but Franconia Mennonite Conference, but this is a little bit like a birth. It feels like there's a child, there's a new start, there's life here. So thank you so much.
Tal's going to provide some leadership now for us in a time of conferring. He's going to give us some questions and opportunities for conversation. We're seeking the leading of God's Spirit as we confer together, and we believe that God's power is at work in amazing and powerful ways in our lives.
Wanted to share a personal experience I had with Ripple. I was invited to minister on a Sunday morning, and it was really different in a way that was energizing and a pleasure for me. As I arrived at the church, there were people sitting outside. I think they had a table out there that Sunday and some bread on the table. And there was a brother sitting on the step who I'm not sure what his function was, but he was serving as greeter that morning and welcomed me and invited me to come in. And it just felt like a community of persons coming together. It was organized in ways that would probably be foreign to us in some ways, but I just want to say I had a good time. I mean, I don't know about everybody else. Pardon me? Well, thank you. And so I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity on a Sunday morning, afternoon, unless you're using China time, to visit. Because it is indeed a blessing to just experience how God is moving there. So I would encourage you to do that. What I'd like to do and have us look at over the next 40 minutes or so, is to talk about our priorities. And I want you, before we go further, the delegates, each of you, should have a copy of the outline for reporting back to your congregations. Do you have that? It's a packet that was part of the conference assembly scattered handout. Yes, okay, it's green. Okay, green is good. And I want to encourage you as you hear and think about what we're doing and talking about throughout the day to make use of the outline for reporting back to your congregations, because we've heard from you, and I want to make this clear, everything that we talk about or that I'm sharing with you has come from you, has come from congregations who have said, this is what we want to be and who we want to be and what we believe God is calling us to be. And while we certainly, as your conference leaders, have tried to make sure that we honor what we're hearing, we do understand that while we try to follow through with what we understand the Spirit is discerning, sometimes process may not be exactly what you may or may not have expected. But the point I wanted to make is this comes from us, that as it says here, we are Franconia Conference together. And that is not just, some catchphrase or something. That is a reality. These are the priorities and the direction that we've realized together as we think and talk in various places about what does it mean to be Franconia Conference. And so I do want to make it clear, again, that this is a gathering of collective ideas. The other thing that someone brought to my attention, just as a so-called public service announcement, today is the 25th anniversary, I think, of the first woman being ordained in Franconia Conference. Margaret Cobb is what I have here. Now, there may be some other names, because you guys have, pardon me? See, there's always more. Martha Cobb Wyckoff. Somebody's pointing somewhere. There, stand up. There you are. Praise the Lord. You know, it's always good to have the right information, isn't it? So let's take some time, a couple things. Our objectives today for this session would be to talk about what our priorities are, what we have said are important to us as we think about being Franconia Conference together. And I do want you please to make use of these outlines as best, they would help you so that you can go back to your congregations and report what you've experienced at conference. We cannot share the message. We cannot carry the responsibility of who we are as Franconia Conference from just Yoder Road. We can't do it. It's got to be a message that is owned and that is embraced and that is carried by those of us and those of you that call yourselves delegates and representatives of the conference. And so I say that so that we can continue to be reminded that this is indeed a collective effort that points to God being at work, not just from so-called Yoder Road or the Souderton Center or wherever we were before that, but a collective of all of us being a part of this work. For the sake of the presentation, I'd like to give and share with you some definitions. Now, you may argue with me later about this, but these are definitions for the sake of the presentation. When I use these words, this is what I mean. Now, you may, go on your iPhones and come back and say that's incorrect, but this is what I mean. When I talk about mission, I'm talking about what you do. So for me, mission is what you do. When I speak of vision, vision is a picture or an outcome. of what God has said is his intention for the church and for the work. So that's what I mean. When I say vision, I'm talking about a picture or an outcome. When I use the word purpose, simply it is why we do what we do. So that you understand, and someone may say, you know, Ertel, that's very basic, and it could very well be without question, but it's pretty important to understand together what it is we mean when we say certain things. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that I did point out in the beginning, as I talk about mission, mission is what do we do? What is our actual process, and how do we go about working and serving and so forth? And the vision is, what is the picture or outcome that we hope for as a people? And the purpose is, why do we do it? And to me, your purpose, all of these things should somehow support one another. You know, churches ought to be asking themselves as a conference, why do we do conference assembly? Why? Is it because we've always done it? You know, what is the purpose of conference assembly? And how does that fit with the vision? And how does that fit with the mission? And so those things, as congregational leaders, you need to be thinking about. Okay, let's look at the next the next slide that talks about the priorities. These priorities for the vision and the mission and the purpose of Franconia Conference, again, and I'm going to keep repeating this more than you probably want to hear it, have come out of years of conversation with you, years of engagement with you, years of, excuse me, years of conference assembly scattered, years of formal meetings, years of parking lot conversations. You know what they are, don't you? Parking lot meetings. Years and years and years. You know, I laugh at my own jokes, but that's okay. The point is, this is a result of a collective, again. So the priorities are part of the next stage or process for, you know, equipping leaders so that we can empower others to embrace God's mission. So this is where we are. And so they are committed to the vision and mission of the Franconia Conference to equip leaders, to empower others, to embrace God's mission. And so this is where we are as it relates to our priorities. Prior to this point, we were talking about priorities being to work at what it means to be intercultural. We were talking about priorities as it relates to what does it mean to be missional. Priorities as it relates to what does it mean to be formational. And we haven't answered all the questions related to the previous priorities for the stage and direction we were moving toward. But we did feel like it was time, as the board said and thought about this and collected information from various areas, it was time to move to the next place for priorities. All right. So we think about the priorities as being committed to the vision and mission. And the next piece would be, how do we work at it? Well, they're fulfilled, as it says here, through the realignment of resources and movement toward cultivating healthy and growing leaders, disciples, and congregations. And so we're talking about reducing staff. One of the things that's tough is to have more demand with less resources. That's okay sometimes. But, you know, it is not about just about staff, but, you know, it's important to understand that we need to think seriously about how do we realign our resources and how do we position ourselves as leaders to perhaps have less staff but more networking capability. So, you know, we're looking at how to stretch ourselves in ways that we're able to make the right connections and effective connections so that we can get the work done that God has called us to do as his community, and we can provide the service and support to our constituents from Atlanta to Vermont and beyond. So, okay. So priority number one, and Pastor Marta read that earlier, is we want to look at developing missional initiatives. And so we want to help folk to think a bit about what it is that they do that can be about mission, about serving God. And so we said, we understand there's a couple things. It takes risk for the gospel to develop a mission. Ripple, I don't know how much of a risk Ripple was, but I'll use you for a minute. Ripple might have been a risk. You're dealing with homeless folk, you know, you can kind of go down the list. I don't know all that your challenge was. But it was a matter of stepping into an area that required for us to develop missional initiatives. We've got to be willing to take risks with God. With God. And that shouldn't be so scary. It should be exciting, actually. And so we say we want to develop missional initiatives. We want to be able to say to you as you come, take a risk. You know, sometimes we call missional experiments and so forth. But take a risk. The second thing that we see here is, in developing these missional initiatives, is there has to be creative partnerships and new possibility for missional engagement, both across the street and around the world. So however God is leading us, we said that a priority is to develop missional initiatives, to understand it's risk-taking, to understand that we want to have creative partnerships and new possibilities. And that, to me, says we're going to do stuff that we've never really done before. It's going to be a little different. And, you know, sometimes God can take the same thing and make it seem like it's brand new. I like that about how God does some stuff sometimes, right? So part of what our priorities are, it's important for us together to think about creative partnerships. We talked about Greenville and some of the work happening there. Many of you can talk about relationships and partnerships that step outside of the traditional Anabaptist community where, you know, you're working at developing and allowing missional initiatives to start. And again, both distance and nearby. You don't necessarily have to catch a plane or get on a boat to learn some stuff. There is some things you can learn by catching the subway or the 124, which takes you into different parts of the area, or the suburban train or whatever that is. Both distant and nearby. Okay. The other thing we talk about here is in terms of developing missional initiatives, is there needs to be a mutuality. There needs to be this sharing of power and influence and resourcing. A reciprocity. You know, we need to be able to say, you know, it's about opening ourselves up to not just being the go-to folk that save whatever, but that we're willing to enter into relationships that call for us to share power, influence, and resourcing, whatever that is. It doesn't always have to do with dollars and cents. It is often just a sharing of the discernment of how the Spirit has moved a certain group of people to engage in a certain way and to be open to mutually sharing that. We want to have missional initiatives that are developed are rooted in considerations of justice and that build on strength, not weakness. We want to move in such a way that we go from into developing missional initiatives, that we go from what I call from moving from charity to justice. Charity is a good thing. Charity is a good thing. You know, to give and to share, it's a good thing. But we don't want to just stop at charity. And so we're saying, for us, a priority is that we develop missional initiatives that move from charity to justice, where we're sharing and we're open to bringing about some change. Okay, priority number two, and you're going to have a chance to talk about some of this at your tables. Priority number two, networking and cultivating intercultural ministry relationships. You have talked about often the desire to get to know each other. We love getting together. We love sitting with each other and talking to each other and getting to know each other and building relationships and talking about different ways to network. And so a priority that we heard from you is we like to get together. I'm always up for a party, so to speak, right? So we like to get together. And we like to get together to network and to cultivate intercultural ministry relationships. And so what that calls for as we work at priorities is an assessment of current and emerging relationships that work cross-culturally. Do you realize within our conference system and relationships, there are so many examples of how to do some of the stuff we want to do that we just kind of walk by every day, so to speak? We've got to understand that, there are some things that are already happening. There's some exciting stuff that you can tell each other, testify, or tell a story, whichever works for you. But it talks about this networking and cultivating intercultural ministry relationships and assess the current and emerging relationships that work cross-culturally. There's some stuff that just works no matter where you apply it. So for us, the priority is to network. And it goes back to the first one in many ways, because it does call for risk in some ways. All right. So we talk about networking and assessment of current and emerging relationships. Next piece. Build further capacity toward mutually beneficial relationship among ministries and congregations. And so again, it's somewhat saying the same thing, that we want to build our capacity so that everyone can benefit. It's interesting to me sometimes when a congregation says, we can do this for congregation B, but we're not sure what congregation B can do for us. And my question is, have you asked congregation B what they thought they could do for you? No? Well, maybe that's why you don't know what congregation B can do for you. The point I'm making is that this is a relationship that can not only be beneficial just only in ministries, but also in congregations. But we've got to be able to open ourselves and ask the questions about how does that happen? How do we further build the capacity? And so part of what you're going to be thinking about with us today is how do we do that? Part of what I've given you as as one of the questions for conferring is, what would be helpful for us to know? So you can come back and you can say, you know what? I'm thinking about priority number two. Here's a way that we can build further capacity toward mutually beneficial relationships. So we need to think about that. Okay, next. Resulting and defined by reciprocity and transformation rather than paternalism and patronization. Need I say more? I mean, it is a matter of allowing ourselves to be transformed, to be changed. That's hard, isn't it? Sometimes. But the realities are, if we're going to be able to grow into the cultivating of intercultural ministry relationships, we have to be open to transformation, not just paternalism or patronization. We've got to be open. Everywhere. Everywhere. And so it is a priority that you said you wanted to know more about the church across the street, around the corner, on the other side of town, or wherever. You wanted them to visit. So many of you have. I think I heard somebody said, I forget where it was, that one of these Sundays, I think it might even be tomorrow, 100-plus people from another congregation are showing up at a worship service. Maybe it's next Sunday. Is there a church that's going to bring 100 people somewhere to another congregation? Don't be bashful, brother. Yeah, there you go. 100 folk. You're going to have 100 visitors, whoever you are. I don't know what church you're going to. But the point is, it is engaging in such a way. So do you experience a visit, or do you experience just being visitors, or do you allow yourselves to allow God to show you where in each of the people that you meet He is present, and how He wants to use His presence and His spirit and who they are to help transform you? See, that's what it is that you're looking for. You're looking for more than just, you know, sharing a meal together. So it's resulting and defined by reciprocity and transformation. And I know some people hate that word, but what can I tell you? You know, it means that, you know, one day you were a cup, the next day you're a bucket. Sort of. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference. It's a change. Okay, let me move on. The next one we have is building leadership capacity across geographies and generations. We have some very, 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 very gifted leaders in our conference. I have been blessed to sit and to work with very gifted leaders. And not all of them are necessarily credentialed leaders. They're just folk that God has blessed with a spirit and a capacity to lead. And so what we want to do is we want to work with that and increase that. And what we've done over the years, and I praise God for the generosity of the churches, is we've been able to cultivate hundreds. Steve is back there. Steve? Hundreds of leaders over the last 10 years who today, many of you who might be in this room, or some of you, are pastors. Now, other persons have had opportunity to go and to explore ministry in areas where they wouldn't dare take the opportunity if you as a conference had not given us the capacity to help to build or cultivate their leadership. I was talking to my young brother today from Philadelphia Prayer Center, Bobby. And I remember when Bobby was 18 years old and he was helping to lead conference assembly 4 or 5 years ago. He was 18, you know, and he came up and he said, you know, I'm really going to be able to lead conference assembly? And it was like, yes. Yes, and today Bobby is a gifted leader engaged in advanced studies, moving to another level of ministry because we've worked in building the capacity across geographies and generations. And it doesn't matter how old you are, we've got some folk who started a little later. But still, God has moved them into leadership development. Let me say a little more about that. Leadership development, leadership cultivation are two things that are really important. The development of leaders who are already in leadership positions. We want to help leaders and give them the capacity to improve, to grow, to develop. Leadership cultivation is the leadership piece that says we want to look for leaders. Pastors, you ought to be looking for leaders. You ought to have your leadership antenna up if you have them, you know, where you're just kind of feeling out for leaders. And we ought to be looking around so we can cultivate leaders. We have a very intentional part of our work where we look at cultivating and trying to identify leaders. From the pew to the pulpit and beyond. So that's what we're talking about. So this is what you said you wanted. So you're talking about spirit-influenced and committed people are one of our greatest resources. Spirit-influenced and committed people. People who indeed are not just educated, because we have tons of folk who have degrees and are experienced, have all kinds of training, But we talk about not only just that, but we talk about who are influenced by the Spirit of God. Where God is moving in their life in such a way that goes beyond what they could even ask or think according to the power that works in them. So we are blessed with Spirit influence and committed people. That's one of our greatest resources. We're privileged with a diversity of gifts and high levels of commitment. We have folk that are just, you know, ministry is their middle name, so to speak. That they are so committed to ministry. And they're committed to ministry not so they can get kind of notches on their belt for how many times they've been overseas, but so they can serve and be an instrument in the hand of God. They're committed to that. We are blessed as a conference to have those folks. We want to create opportunity for more involvement of leaders, again, from the pew to the pulpit and beyond. Sister Care was one of the developmental pieces that we worked at in helping to provide resources for those who don't have a title. They may not be a deaconess, they may not be an elder, they may be, but what they are there people who have a commitment, and we want to create an opportunity for them to learn and to grow. And so we're trying through our School for Leadership Formation, through our Pastors and Leaders Breakfast, through the different and various ways that we can think of to create opportunities to get them involved, not just teach or equip or coach or train and send them home, but to get them involved so that they can help to make a difference in who we are and what we do as a conference. That's a priority. You said was important to you. Further, equip and position staff for future support of our constituent community. We are looking very, very closely at what not only reducing staff, but the capacity of our staff to get us to the next stage of ministry. The capacity of our staff to get us to the next leg of the relay, so to speak. And so we want to equip and position our staff so that they can do what is needed to deliver. It's a delivery system. I don't want to sound like marketing. The realities are, it's a delivery system. So when you ask the staff for certain services or help or assistance or whatever, we have to be prepared and equipped for a way that we can support what you're doing together. We are Franconia Conference together. And so we have to be prepared to support what it is you're doing. And we don't always get it right, but we try together. So the priorities of developing missional initiatives, our average missional grant, and Brother Randy was talking about that a little bit, our average mission operations grant, some of you don't know what that is, that's grant money that we have in a fund that we use every year from estate gifts. We use a percentage of those dollars to provide grants, and there's criteria that the application lays out for getting those grants. But the maximum usually is around $5,000. Sometimes it's less. But it is for people who say, we have a new ministry and a new mission that we want to work at, or we have a leader that we want to support in a certain effort. And so to say about the mission operations grants, or missional grants, is to say that we want to grow that. We want to go from saying, here's, you know, $5,000 maybe for something that you're trying to do, to here's $25,000 to help you do what you need to do in terms of ministry and mission. And to be very specific about that. And so while we haven't thought about all the specifics as it relates to, you know, the process, we believe we want to be able to provide more. again, networking and cultivating intercultural ministry relationships. Look, the only way to get to know someone is to get to know them, right? Or is there another way? I don't know of another way. The only way to get to know someone, the only way to network and cultivate intercultural ministry relationships is to get to know them. And finally, building leadership capacity across geographies and generations. And I love it when someone comes and they don't know what they want to do. They just know they have a leadership itch that needs to be scratched. And they'll come to us and they'll say, I don't know what it is we want to do. And we have worked together with them to help, often to help them discover what that leadership need is. And, you know, we have this kind of, not we, the conference, but, you know, it's our human nature to have kind of a pass or failure thing. Well, you don't fail because it didn't work out. You constantly explore. Now, you know, so it didn't quite work out, and you constantly explore. What I want to do, or am forced to do, because of time, is give you an opportunity to confer. Three questions. One, what else do you need to know? You write on your table and papers and think about handling it. Secondly, you know, is there something I haven't said to you about these priorities? What else do you need to know? The second thing would be, what would be helpful for us to know? As your conference representatives, what is it that we would be helpful for us to know? And the third piece of it, what can you bless as a community? I didn't say affirm, but what can you encourage? What can you care for? What can you take ownership of that we've listed here? Take a few minutes at your tables. Have that conversation. And we'll give you some opportunity for feedback. Now, if we don't get a chance to hear everyone, we will go around in some form and pick up your comments from the table so we can hear. But here's what I want you to take the next few minutes to talk about is what else do you need to know? What will be helpful for us to know? And what can we bless as a community? In other words, you. What can you bless? What can you say, we bless this priority? We are in step with this priority. Some of the questions we'll be able to answer right away. Some we may have to answer later. So take some time right now to talk about it at your tables, and if you have opportunity to give a response from one of the from one or all three of the questions. Okay? We're good? All right. Okay, let me just take a few minutes and get some responses from tables. As I said earlier, we will not have opportunity or time to hear from all the tables. But I will not plan to answer your question specifically. I want to record the information somewhere and, pardon me, we'll try to respond accordingly. So, someone want to represent a table? Response or some input from the conferring questions that we shared and the comments maybe you might have about Easton Day. Here we go, pointing at each other again. Why do you folks do that? Point at each other. So okay, thank you.
I'm Carolyn Albright from Ripple, and in response to what do you need to know, we said we'd like to hear stories of how the missional grants were used and what came of that. How do you move out of a church building and still have church? Then what would be helpful for conference to know is related. We want to hear more stories from the people.
And this is specifically from Ripple. What can we bless as a community? And we want to say thank you and bless you for all the different ways other Franconia churches have been partnering with Ripple already, and we hope that will continue. People have cooked meals for us. They give us financial and prayer support. Their youth groups have gotten involved. Lots of different people are asking lots of questions. We even had a small group of observers from Lancaster Conference come to Ripple. So we invite any of you to come see what's going on at Ripple and get involved in whatever way you choose. But thank you for that. We have been really blessed by that involvement.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Pointing does not count. You have got to raise your hand. There you go.
Nelson Shank, one of the questions this table had was, it was stated that Samantha Leoy is contracted. Tell us what that means.
She's not staff.
But how is she paid?
She's paid through grants and contributions from Eastern District, Peace and Justice, and Franconia Conference. Because we do get offerings, and we get gifts from folk who say, we're giving to the conference because we value peace and justice. No, that.
Let me push the question out then. Does she have to do all the work to make sure that the congregations know she's available, or is that something the conference, I mean, you promoted it here, but will that be promoted strongly so that it's not just up to Samantha?
Yes. Yes, there's a collaboration of Samantha along with a support group and the conference, and you notice I'm walking away from him because I don't want him to answer. And others who may have some questions. You guys want to? So, yes, thank you, Nelson. Oh, Samantha said, if anyone wants to donate today, feel free. We have a little more time, so please, yes.
I'm Stephen Cobb from Lexington Mennonite. And I was just wondering, as far as priority three goes, to what extent is the conference available, ready to support individual members who may come forward with missional ideas that they would like to explore and develop either within their church or their community?
That's a great question. We just had an experience, not just one, but I'll think of one that's recent, where an individual came forward and they had an idea for ministry and mission, and we said to them, have you been in conversation with your congregation about this idea? And they said, to some degree, they had. And so we encouraged them to go back, have a conversation with the congregation, the leaders in the congregation. Leadership in the congregation came back to us and said, we're not sure exactly what it is they want to do, but we're willing to endorse some sort of experiment to work at it. And we partnered with the congregation, and it's now turned into what we believe is a ministry that the congregation has embraced and moved forward. So we did have an individual who was just excited about something God had laid on their heart. They shared with the congregation, conference, partnered with them, and it's a go.
John Mast with Methacton. Just as a follow-up to that, one of the things that we were talking about is if there was a way for congregations to know some of those individuals that had passion for mission or some kind of a program that congregations could possibly plug into that and say, hey, that would really work for us.
Thank you. One of the things that we're working at is making sure we don't decrease our communications. I mean, we're looking at where to streamline and how to reallocate resources. Communication will not be one of them. The point being is that what we want to do is we want to make sure you know what you're doing. Does that make sense? You know what you're doing so that you can partner. We have a tough time getting you to tell us what you're doing. We email you, we call you, and then you get mad because we called you. But, you know, if you tell us what you're doing so that folk can say, hey, that sounds like something I'd like to connect with. So we're going to be working maybe in different ways to find out what's happening in congregations. Because, yeah, we want to know so that you can organically partner with each other. We're not trying to necessarily feel like we need to manage this. But so please, tell us what it is you're doing or how God is laying an idea in your heart, and you'd be surprised. Maybe there's somebody out there who is prepared to join. So we want to increase our communication somehow to make sure that you know what you're doing. Someone's pointing at me. I'm going to give them I don't usually deal with the point, but I will.
Would it be advantageous to open the conference to the elder board of our congregations, that they can sit here and witness all that's happening? We have quite a few young people in our congregation who are on elder board. And a person I brought had to leave because she felt that this is just only for the delegates. But this would be one way that young people can know what's happening over here and get them ready to move on in their responsibilities in church life.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea, and that's something that we should push further on. We did something similar when we opened up this conversation about youth ministry, and anyone and everyone was invited. But specifically, you know, our brother talked about elder boards and leaders. I think that's an excellent idea, and that would be something that we can work toward, because we do want to give clarity, consistency, information, so that everyone can know what's happening and understand how it is they can connect. Where's my timekeeper? I have 5 minutes. Okay. Yes, a hand is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter to me.
This is Rose Bender from Whitehall. And at our table, we were wondering, we keep hearing about reducing staff. And that makes me quake a little bit in my shoes because of how much I rely on my leadership minister and others to do some of the networking. So it's already been streamlined. How's it going to be streamlined anymore?
I don't know. I do know this, that I want and we want to make sure that all of us know what the consequences will be as we think about streamlining. I forget the sister who said it. I was at a meeting the other day, and the sister said, we're talking about, she was a pastor. She says, we're talking about needing more resources, but at the same time, we're asking you to reduce your staff or your capacity to deliver. So, yeah, good question. But what I think is really important is that everyone understands throughout the conference churches, here's what it'll mean as we reduce or cut back or make adjustments in certain areas. And we want to make it clear so that folk can maybe help us think of other ways. But you raise a good point. You know, we definitely want to make sure we have the right staff, the right people in the right places, and we have an appropriate staff that can do what you need. But it is indeed a good question, because how can, you know, it's the old bricks without straw kind of thing. So thank you for that question. Change your mind?
No. Just with regards to, I'm Ben Weidman from Salford, by the way. With regards to the conversation around Alpha, we were wondering if any reconciling work is being done with Germantown.
We are in conversation about that. We were in conversation with We were in conversation about that with Easton District, and we are still in conversation about that. What makes it somewhat complicated in some ways is that we're in a partnership and a conversation with Easton District, and so we have to together decide how we're going to work through it. But there has been, as recently as this month, actually, conversation about that whole relationship and how to work at that. So we are talking about it. And it's just simply, to be clear, if I can, it's just simply about being open to seeing the stop sign. Being willing to talk. Thank you.
I think I caused some trouble when I said that two of our staff persons were contracted, but thank you very much for that question, and Ertel, great answer. Couple just sort of announcements, and then I want to just, again, thank you very much for coming and make some comments about the importance of having a unified conference. There are some unsung heroes present here this afternoon, and I'd like Steve Crist to come up and just sort of name the names of the persons who have been interpreting what we've been saying into the various languages of our conference. And Steve arranged for all this, and I thought it would be good for Steve to say who they are.
Through Franconia Conference's commitment to provide translation in all of our worshiping languages, that means that we are well-staffed in the back corner. We are well-staffed by, if you wonder where the younger folks are with us, look back there. They are way younger than our average age. So they are making sure that those of you who are here and your primary worshiping language is not English, they are making sure that you can follow along, and we are very grateful for that. I just walked past Adrian Suryajaya, and he said, I have to move, because he said my shoulders are stressed out from listening. So if any of you have massage skills, I think they're ready. They're ready. The other things that they're also doing is they're providing live streaming online. So I have gotten some texts from people who are watching online from diverse locations with us, and all the languages are being communicated online as well. So we are live on the web as well as multilingual in the room. So thanks to all of them, and thanks to Philadelphia Praise Center for providing a lot of coordination for our languages today. Our assistants in translation and in video streaming today are Adrian Suryajaya from Philadelphia Praise, Maria Beiler from Philadelphia Praise, Pastor Kirk Hanger from New Hope Fellowship, Luke Martin from Vietnamese Gospel in Allentown, Christine McLean, Fernanda Loyola from Philadelphia Praise, Siska Tigiadi from Philadelphia Praise, Andre Lau from Philadelphia Praise, and also one of the heroes of the event is Dave Aldifer from Penview that makes all of our technology work well the whole time we're here. So thanks to each and every one of you for your assistance.
Thank you very much, Steve. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask that we want to have a prayer to bless the meal. And Aldo, would you be the person that would come up here and do that for us? That's you, Aldo. I came to Philadelphia Praise Center one time, and I was asked to pray, and that was really an honor for me to do that. And Aldo, I'd like if you would do that here shortly. A couple more announcements. I guess Steve did acknowledge the Penview staff, but they've been most helpful, and I think we really want to acknowledge their help for us. The meal this evening is being provided by Yoder's Catering from Intercourse, Pennsylvania. Not from Yoder's Road here, but from Intercourse. And we're delighted that they have come in and provided the catering for us this evening. It was suggested that I just bring to your attention, and this, I guess, is not really an announcement, but just sort of something to think about. The question is, how does Franconia Conference fund the programs that we have? And we are open, our board is open to hearing from you in terms of what the size of our staff should be, what the kind of programs we should have, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you've given us some feedback here. We have suggested that as sort of a target for congregations, you consider a contribution to conference of between 5 and 10% of your budget, your total income. Budget. Total income, one of those, but that would help us. So just something for you to think about. I think you're getting a letter
to that effect at some point. The meal this evening is partially funded by Everence. We appreciate that very much as well. And finally, just a note on the ballot. We did have a quorum. That's very important. The quorum, however, was pretty close. A little over about 52% of our delegates were here today. So there's actually, we should have, if everyone would have came, I think we would have had well over 200 delegates, but we had around 125, 30, something like that. So we have a quorum, and thankfully for that, which means that our ballot was valid, and 95% of persons submitting a ballot voted in the affirmation for the folks that were on that ballot, so we're pleased about that. Now, Aldo, come on up here, brother. I would like to just say thank you again for coming out here, for making this a good conference, for giving your thoughts to us. We really deeply appreciate that. We yearn to have the ability to deal with all of our challenges in a good way and stay unified. And I think that you've shown that today, and I appreciate that. So, Aldo, would you have... What? Oh, yes. I'm assuming that you will all stay for worship tonight. If you were planning to skip out, we'd encourage you to stay for worship. We're hoping that we can fill the auditorium. It's going to be a great evening. The other message I didn't give you is that there's enough food here for everyone, so feel free to grab some food before the service. If you have to go, grab some food before you go. Aldo.
Let's stand on our feet. And is it okay if I pray in Indonesia? That's the heavenly language. All right. Let us pray. Abba Father, thank you. Terima kasih untuk pertemuan yang luar biasa, pembicaraan yang luar biasa. Thank you for the great meeting, the great conversation that we had. Malam hari ini, Tuhan, kami akan meneruskan dengan worship dan juga akan makan malam. Bless our food, bless our conversation, bless each one of the congregation. Bless Franconia Mennonite Conference. In the name of Jesus, dalam nama Yesus, kami berdoa. And every believer say, amen, amen, amen.
Very good. Go in peace and make sure that you get a meal before you go.